This is Nature Notes, our look at the natural world in West Texas, from the prairies of Llano Estacado to the borderlands of the Chihuahuan Desert. How does archaeological discovery happen? Excavation is the obvious answer, but it's not the only one. As archaeological techniques and perspectives evolve, artifacts collected decades ago can be as revelatory as new finds. That's the principle behind a new study of artifacts at Alpine's Museum of the Big Bend. The items were collected almost a century ago, but in the coming months they could provide fresh insights into our region's ancient hunters. From Marfa Public Radio and the Sibley Nature Center in Midland, this is Nature Notes. I'm Dallas Baxter. Brian Schroeder is the director of Alpine's Center for Big Bend Studies.
I want to show what I think this region shows is that the stone is like such an afterthought to the art that's not preserved. A bunch of people called it the missing majority. The missing majority of the archaeological record is like under-theorized, and we don't know what we can do with it.
Our view of the past is shaped by what endures, and when it comes to the deep human past, most of what endures is stone. That's contributed to an image of prehistoric life as defined by stone tools as the Stone Age. But as Schroeder notes, wood, fiber, and bone implements were just as important in prehistory as stone, though they've mostly been lost to the elements. In Arctic climes, climate change is revealing vivid examples of this missing majority. Delicate objects from ancient textiles and arrows to animal and human remains are being revealed by melting ice. The desert equivalents of ice are dry caves, which preserve fragile, perishable artifacts. The Museum of the Big Bend holds a host of such objects, collected by Victor Smith. The pioneering Big Bend scientist excavated caves in Sunny Glen, near Alpine, in the early 1930s. Smith's Sunny Glen finds are enigmatic to the untrained eye. Some were simply identified as sticks. Fortunately, Schroeder says, the center has a staffer, Devin Pettigrew, who specializes in ancient weaponry.
I opened the same drawers he did, and I didn't look at it and go, oh my God, look at all these bows. Like, he opened it up and was like, these are bow pieces. And I was like, bundle of sticks, close. Whoever thought that before me thought they were a bundle of sticks. I mean, you just don't know.
Pettigrew identified a range of wooden weapons, including bows, darts, and straight-flying boomerangs. Through a Sulraw State University grant, the weapons will be analyzed to determine their ages, the types of wood used, and potentially where the wood came from. Such analysis, which requires only a tiny fragment of each artifact, was unknown in Smith's time. Hunting was a mainstay of indigenous life here for more than 10,000 years, but archaeologists are only beginning to glimpse the complexity of that hunting tradition. Archaic hunters would have used different weapons for different purposes. Straight-flying boomerangs, for example, served for small animals, while hardwood darts would have been superior to stone for big game. Archaic hunters may have tended stands of choice trees to ensure the wood they needed. The new study will help fill out the picture of ancient hunting, which the focus on stone has obscured, Schroeder says.
It'll be part of a much bigger effort to show the rest of the archaeological community how important and how fine-tuned and how much indigenous knowledge is in these parts that don't preserve.
It's a reminder of the importance of museums, not only in sharing the story of the past, but of opening new vistas for understanding. This episode was written by Andrew Stewart. I'm Dallas Baxter. Thanks for listening.